Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
Hey, mate.
How's it going?
How's it going, man?
Double podcast with you this week.
Yeah, man.
Because Ollie is missing, so...
MIA.
So, yeah, man, how's it been?
Yeah, it's been good.
What's your weekend plans? Oh, you've got nothing on, have you?
Got nothing on. Might go to this Horniman Museum, as I said yesterday, to see the fat walrus. that's about it, really. Yeah. I might go for some drinks.
You met a baby yesterday.
Met a baby, yeah. So met my friend's two-month-old baby.
Aww.
Didn't like me.
No, why not?
I think babies don't like people.
I
think babies don't like people with beards, really. So, she was fine for about 10 seconds when I held her, and then she was like, "I am cross," and I was like, "Okay, you can go back to where you came from."
I was gonna say I'm surprised because when I spoke to you about this on Monday, you were like, "No, I'm not holding the child."
Yeah,
I'm not
well, holding I sort the of baby. Got like she got voiced it. She got voices on me, and yeah. So it was one of those things where it was like, well, you either take the baby or someone else is dropping it. So I was like, okay.
That's cool, man. I got back quite late from work last night. Mm. So my wife and I were just like, yeah, let's have some dinner, MasterChef, and go to bed.
Mm.
Very much.
I think my overall experience last night was quite traumatic because we met this baby and then the baby cried at me. And then we watched the Michael Jackson documentary, which was...
rough watching.
Yeah, and I thought it was shorter. So it's like it's an hour and a half and there's two parts, so there's only watch the first part and then the second part's I think next week, but yeah, hour and a half, and it starts quite like, here's a nice story about some dancing kids, and then they meet Michael Jackson and there's still a bit of reverence, and then things go dark for a good 50 minutes of just like graphic storytelling, and it's
I've heard it's unrelenting.
I've
got it recorded.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and watch it soon. But on a slightly lighter note, and a slightly little plug for me. So one of the reasons I was late last night is because I was guesting on a podcast.
I
was a guest on the Married Marks podcast, which is a podcast you should definitely check out. They're very, very cool people. We were just chatting stuff about wrestling, sexism within wrestling, racism within wrestling, and things like that. It was all big topics.
Mm.
But it's a good fun list. I had a really fun time on there. So go check out the Married Marks.
A lot of ism.
Yes, exactly. So, because I had a good fun on there, and I might be doing more episodes with them at some point. So check those out. We've got a Rusev Hay in here from, he calls himself the Wild Wolf.
Mm.
Dear WrestleTalk crew, I hope this email finds you well. I'm writing in with my own Rusev Hay, something I thought I would never do. But I attended my first NXT live event over the weekend. Shock and surprise, it was a great show and I had a great time. My father and I arrived at the venue early and we noticed a group of people gathered around NXT... gathered around. My father told me that's probably where the wrestlers get into the venue, so we decided to check it out. Sure enough, a bus pulled up and a bunch of NXT superstars got out. I was awestruck. I stood there awkwardly and silently as they got their bags and headed inside. Even when Adam Cole was standing a foot away from me, I stood there and said nothing. But he did have headphones in, so I figured he didn't want to be talked to. Needless to say, the show was awesome. Johnny Gargano and Ono had the match of the night. Not surprising when you put those two in the ring together. Punisher Martinez and Dominic, whatever his last name is, had a really good match. I was also blessed to bask in the glory of Keith Lee for the first time, but he ended up losing to Roderick Strong, so we can skip over that part. At the end of the show, a bunch of babyfaces beat down the Undisputed Era. Aleister Black and Ricochet delivered a goodbye address to the NXT Universe, saying this would probably be their last NXT live show. But then we got to sing happy birthday to Row of the War Raiders. At the end of the show, we gathered around the bus waiting for them to make their way to said bus. I was able to get a picture with Aleister and Johnny. I wasn't able to get a picture with Keith Lee, but I yelled support WrestleTalk at him, and he just slowly turned around and said, as well, Luke and Ollie, and that fake door guy, I guess too. He's so cool. Anyway, it was a great time and one of the best nights of my life. Thank you for taking the time to read this email. With much love, The Wild Wolf. Keith Lee's so cool. Although, I'm afraid, Wild Wolf, there are no pictures attached to this email. And the rule of thumb on this show is pics or it didn't happen.
What a liar.
Unfortunately,
you've been moved into the lie category.
Rusev Balderdash. Never going to come up with a rhyme because you've lied about it. No, I'm sure you had a very, very good time.
Hogswash.
So yeah, if you do have those pictures, send them across because that would be very cool. And thanks for giving us a shout out to Mr. Keith Lee. What a wonderful, wonderful chap he is. Let's crack on with the show. We're going to be talking about this little Ronda Rousey promo that she cut on her Ronda on the Road YouTube whatever.
I went into slow motion there.
So good at talking. Yeah. I'm just the best at talking.
As good as Ronda Rousey.
bless her heart. So yeah, anyway, we're going to crack on with the show. Mailbag, crap gimmicks, and then when we come back, 80% fact. Here is the show. We did want to talk about this Ronda Rousey promo. So, if you're not aware, we covered this in the news yesterday, but Ronda has a weekly vlog that she does on YouTube called Ronda on the Road, where she essentially just sort of, you know, chronicles her time in WWE and her sort of traveling from city to city, doing bits and bobs, wrestling and whatnot.
Getting her makeup done.
Exactly. Getting her makeup taken off. Yes. You know, things like that. Like, it was just before Elimination Chamber, she revealed in that she was going to be dressing as Sonya Blade from Mortal Kombat 11 for the show, for Elimination Chamber, because she's playing her in the new game. Little bits and pieces like that. But this one, kind of like, I woke up this morning, I was a bit concerned that there wasn't going to be enough news because it had been a bit of a slow news day. And then all of a sudden, my Twitter timeline was kind of filled with a lot of people talking about this video and Ronda's very choice words that she had about WWE and about
she
its
was
fans.
Effing and blinding.
She was effing and jeffing all over the show. There was no stopping her. And a lot of people appear to believe this is a shoot promo. It's not a work. It's Ronda airing her grievances and being very, very pissed off and annoyed at the company, at the fans, and about the way that she's been portrayed and this, that, and the other. So, I mean, someone said to me on Twitter, it was like, I think she's worked herself into a shoot. Me, on the other hand, I would argue she's worked herself into more of a work.
Yeah, because she's working.
Yes, for me, this is 100% work, right?
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? So, like, there was all this talk back when the feud was sort of raging on, like, when it really started to hot up on Twitter, that Ronda was annoyed at what was actually happening on Twitter between her and Becky, because Becky is much better at Twitter. So, I don't think in the grand scheme of the promos on the shows, Ronda's come off like fantastically badly. Like, she's obviously not amazing in long form promo. She's obviously got aphraxia?
Something like that. Yeah. I won't try and say that I know what it's called.
You shouldn't make it the hardest thing to say when it makes it things difficult to say. She's obviously got like issues around talking for long periods of time in that way and stuttering and stumbling over your words and stuff. So putting her in that position doesn't necessarily work. So she comes off badly against Becky just for that sheer fact alone. However, I don't think she's come off that badly in the promos on the actual programming. However, on Twitter, she pales in comparison to the stuff that Becky comes out with. She's got some quite good lines from the feud I've seen, like Ginger Crutch Ninja. Yeah. Brilliant line. But only gingers can call another ginger. That is the rule. But Becky is obviously some Twitter savant who's yes. able to just like craft perfect little torpedoes of just like, here we go.
She's very quick-witted.
Yes.
Yeah. And like the reports are, like, Dave Meltzer was talking about this, like the Twitter stuff last week was all by design. It's all WWE's work. They're signing off on what they're doing on social media because what they want is they want this feud to feel real.
Yes.
Meltzer compared it to the Lawrence Taylor Bam Bam Bigelow match from WrestleMania 9 mm-hmm. where they had Bam Bam go out and say, hey, by the way, wrestling's fake, but when I fight Lawrence Taylor at WrestleMania 9, that's going to be a real fight.
Yes, yeah.
It's, you know, like what Triple H is doing on Raw, where he's addressing Batista, being like, when you look into my eyes, you're not going to look into the eyes of a character, you look into the eyes of a man. Mm. This fight that we're going to have at WrestleMania is real.
I like the fact he avoided saying, you look into the eyes of Paul on that one.
Mr. Levesque.
Mr. Paul.
Whereas all this other stuff over here, that's all fake.
Mm.
And it treads this really, like, odd line. I don't like it. I'm not massively keen on it. Like, I didn't really like Ronda last week going like, Becky, your armbar's fake. It doesn't make sense. Like, that it doesn't hurt to be put in it. Because then when Ronda has to sell that move at Mania, then she looks dumb.
Yeah, I think you need to, yeah, dumb? It's very you have to very carefully say which bits are fake, which bits are real. Like, we should be doing, like, it's, you know, it's fake in the sense that we're coming out here and we're being told to say this, we're being told to say that. There should just be an element of this that should more just lean heavily on Ronda's credentials
mm-hmm.
rather than devaluing the credentials of everyone else who's doing the thing that we're all watching.
That's
like,
it, yeah.
That would make more sense to be like, I am a legitimate fighter. I have won all these things outside of this. I am the baddest woman on the planet. And then that just works with the slightly, you know, the heel turned persona. That,
yeah.
You don't need to be like, the heel doesn't have to be like, wrestling is fake. Like,
oh, by the way, this is all
that's
fake.
The ultimate heel turn would just be like, wrestling is fake. I'm no longer taking part.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's kind of, it's weird that that's what her character appears to be. So I've got like a transcript of the video. If you've not seen it, I'm not going to use some of the her choice words in there, but she's. Essentially says, I'm tired of being here just to entertain people. I'm not taking direction or notes or orders. Every time I go out there, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. She talks about how, what are they going to do? Stop filming me? Like, and I like that aspect of it. Of like, oh, I don't care anymore. Like, you know, yeah. I'm not keen on her saying like, I don't want to take notes for my script, but I don't mind her saying like, oh, I'm just going to go, what are they going to do? Stop filming me? I'm making them loads of money. They're not going to turn away the money that I make them.
But it also makes sense to be like, I'm not going to do the scripted stuff if it's like your appearances on Good Morning America. You're like, we're doing this video to promote WrestleMania. Like, if she just stops doing all of that, like, promo-y work that WWE does outside of the actual, you know, the kayfabe fighting.
Yes.
Like, that would work really well.
Absolutely,
if she was like, I'm
not
playing the company game anymore. I'm no longer going to be brand ambassador Ronda Rousey. I am just kick you in the head Ronda Rousey.
Yeah. She went on to talk about because the way that this is filmed and structured is that, like, she's being filmed and someone's talking to her off camera like while people are like combing her hair and like taking her makeup.
I really like this. You're showing a really like
he's doing a wonderful job on
you're
it.
You're showing a badass edge to your character. Yeah, I am actually. Yes.
She's gonna like, sort
of takes off her eyeliner.
Well, queer eyes behind her, like, making her over. But she gets asked about the promo that she cut and, like, you know, this is a more vicious side to you. And she said, it wasn't a promo. They gave me other things to say. I didn't effing say it. I'm going out there and doing whatever the hell I want and they can explain it however they want. But F them, everybody, WWE Universe included. I meant that I'm going to disrespect the sport they all love so much. Oh, don't break kayfabe, Ronda. Wrestling is scripted. It's made up. It's not real. None of those bitches can effing touch me. The end.
I mean, it's pretty cool.
It was the best promo of Ronda's career. Like, in WWE so far, it was the best promo she's ever cut. Mm. Like, she wasn't falling over her words.
No.
Because it's just coming from her heart. This is all just like, I want to get from point A to point B, and this is the route I'm taking, as opposed to, I need to get to route A to B, but I've been handed things to say that I now need to learn and memorize and rehearse and say over and over again so that I don't trip over my words when I go out in front of a live crowd.
Bullet points is the...
Yeah, this was just, a camera was on, cut a promo, and she cut a promo, and it was a great promo.
Yeah.
You couldn't air it on TV because it's full of F's and Jeffs, but... Hey, man, like, people want more realism from wrestling. Mm. It's this really weird...
Funnily enough, pointing out the fakery of it.
Well, yeah, quite. Like, that's the problem with this promo, and that's why I don't... So it's like the best promo she's ever cut, but I don't like some of the content of it. Like, don't come out and say wrestling is scripted. It's not real.
Yeah.
Because it makes you look like a dunderhead when you go out there and get pinned in a fake wrestling match. Mm. Or like you tap out to a fake wrestling
Which
move.
Just means you're playing along, doesn't it? That's the problem. It's like every time Ronda gets tapped, when Ronda does eventually get tapped out or she ever gets pinned, everyone just goes, oh, you decide to play along then.
Yeah, you're finally playing along now, are you? You're playing along with this fake game of ours.
Yeah.
Like when you were a kid and you're like playing cops and robbers in the back, like in your back garden.
Yeah.
Like not at any point did you all stop and be like, I mean, by the way, we're not cops. We're not actually cops. You're not actually robbers.
We're all just making this up. But unless the finish is, you know, in this Mania match, Ronda actually just gets knocked out. Mm. Like they actually just leather her with a this is the first unprotected chair shot for however long. But something to that degree where she's like, it's actually just like, oh, she's unconscious.
Yeah,
you know, and it's not a, you know, it doesn't seem like it's actually part of the overall scripted storyline of this fight.
Yeah.
So I almost bought into it. Did you see the WWE.com exclusive clip from After Raw where she beat down Becky and her music's playing, she's walking up the ramp and she goes back to the ring to start wailing on Becky again and they're dragging her off. But Becky is like flinging her legs out like she's actually been decked a few times there.
Yeah.
That bit was making me go like, did she actually like?
And I think that's what they want you to have. Like, you see the clips, like, because in this video, in this Ronda video, they've got like sort of almost fan cam footage that her, like, you know, entourage is filming. Probably the person combing her hair or whatever. Like, he's filming this from the stands. The punches that Ronda is laying in to Becky, and the story is that all three of them, their plan around this three way feud has been like, let's not hold anything back. Mm-hmm. If you're going to punch me, punch me.
Yeah.
Like, make this look as physical as possible. When Becky was laying them out with the crutch at Elimination Chamber, the three of them said backstage, lay these crutch shots in. And Ronda's whole deal at Survivor Series was like, I want the welts, I want the bruises from the kendo stick shots.
Yeah.
So lay them in. Like, let's make this look as real as possible.
Yeah.
But then that goes, like, so that's great. But that then goes against when you come out and go like, it is scripted, it is fake. Don't say that bit. Like, do all of this. This bit's great over here.
Yeah.
But saying that it's scripted and nonsense, like, just completely undermines all of that.
Well, it'd be interesting to see if then the counter... It'd be interesting to see what the counterpoint is here, whether this Mania match becomes a hardcore kind of event in which weapons are allowed and people do actually hit each other. And they're like, well, you know, because she's saying it's all scripted and fake, but then she's showing off the bruises in the same video. So,
yeah.
Like, there is potential here that Charlotte and Becky go, okay, well, we'll drop all the wrestling stuff and we'll just fight you.
We'll just fight.
That would be cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a really, really weird thing. It's this bizarre worked shoot that... Like, let's be honest. These things have never worked. Like, for the last 20 years since Vinnie Roux decided that this was a great idea back in the WCW and WWF days, doing worked shoots, it's never led to anything good, really. Like, it's never made money. Like, that's the one thing that wrestling experts have always said about worked shoots. They never make money.
No.
Because wrestling fans don't like them because it exposes the sport that we like as fake. When we know it is, we don't want to be told it is.
It's like, suspension of disbelief.
It's suspension of disbelief. So we don't want people saying, they're going like, oh, by the way, what you're watching is fake and you're an idiot for watching it.
Well, it's the wrong sort of meta, isn't it? It'd be like if they were like, you're a wizard, Harry.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean anything because wizards aren't real.
Yeah, by the way, this is a book.
You're reading.
But when Vince Russo in the dying days of WCW was having Tony Schiavone going like, Vince Russo has done it again. Goldberg's gone against the script. He's gone against the format in front of us. We've got people backstage going like, oh, are you going over now? I don't know. I was told I'm going over. Like, that doesn't make anything look good. It makes it all look a bit ramshackled and rinky.
Well, I think I think the kind of reviews we always give of the shows here is we always say, like, you buy into the story. Like, the reason we always rave about Ciampa and Gargano in NXT on the NXT podcast is because it's a story.
Yeah.
We know they're best friends.
They're still friends.
They're great friends. Like, their careers have sort of...
Yeah.
They're on the same path. They're going to be friends forever. They were at each other's... You know, he was at Johnny's wedding. It's fine,
it's
but
fine.
The story is really good. And as long as you just go, like, you know, one of my mates this week we were talking about, and he was like, I just can't get over the fact that it's scripted and fake. And I was like, you just forget that. You just go, they're actors doing a thing, and it doesn't... I'm not watching it going, who will win? What will happen? Like, most of the time I'm watching it knowing already what happens because I've had to read the spoilers for the news. Yeah. So, like, I'm sitting there going, well, I already know the finish, but I can't wait to see how we get there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I don't think that, like, I don't think there's anyone sitting there backstage going, like, I bet you Daniel Bryan and Kofi really hate each other backstage. Like, no, they're probably, like, best mates. They're probably hanging out after the shows and everything. But it's fine.
Yeah.
I don't
think... They'll be an up, down, down in two weeks.
Oh, totally, yeah. Like, Daniel Bryan is not, like, the character that he portrays on TV. Mm. Kofi most likely is. But they're friendly backstage. Mm. But it's fine because we suspend our disbelief. I there are certain aspects of this feud that I really like.
Yes.
I like the sort of this realism that they're trying to attach to it, of this like really laying in shots, making this feel very personal.
Yep.
I think some of the stuff they've done on Twitter has actually been very, very good.
Yep.
All the stuff that WWE have signed off on doing has been very, very good in making people believe that these two genuinely hate each other.
Yeah.
That's great. Like, that's so good.
Yeah.
But then to turn around and be like, oh yeah, but it's all fake.
Well, this is the problem. This is yet another layer in an already monstrously convoluted feud. Yeah. Like, we didn't need this as well. Like, the heel turn, we could have just done like Becky keeps coming after Ronda. She winds her up on Twitter. Charlotte gets in the way of that sort of match out. Well, Becky gets injured. Then it gets pushed back to WrestleMania. There's a lot of build. Becky winds Ronda up to the point that she snaps and there's a heel turn. Instead, we've had, you're suspended, you're reinstated, I'm leaving this belt here, I want the belt back.
You're arrested.
There's going to be a match and blah, blah. Like, it's just, they've made it, rather than just do a really long build for one match, they've done a really, like, just, they just keep diverting the build away from actually just going, the match is happening.
Yeah.
Which is, and also just because they couldn't make their minds up. So now we're now in this stage where Ronda's like, to, again, because... There's, what, 3 weeks to Mania now?
Four weeks, from after this.
So, like, there's 4 weeks left. Can we not just finally build this match as a thing people want to see? Like, I don't understand why we're still doing things like, it's all fake anyway, so when the match actually happens, it won't even matter.
And I feel like now, come this Sunday, we're not getting a finish to that Charlotte Becky match.
No.
I think it's going to be a no contest because I think Ronda's playing this character now. Is she playing a character? Is it all whatever? But like,
she's being Ronda Rousey.
Like, she's
Ronda Rousey is both the name of a character and a person at this point, though.
She's going to come out and, like, you know, wreak havoc. She's going to Brock Lesnar the situation that they did with Roman and Braun at Hell in a Cell last year. Like, where you just come out and you just lay both people out and there's no decision made. And maybe that's how we get to the triple threat. Because Ronda appears to be playing this role of, like, well, they can't stop me anymore.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's a work. 100%. This video would not have been released without WWE's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they're not happy with the language. That's what WrestleVotes are reporting, that they don't like some of the language that's being used. But this is all by design.
That's because they only ever sign off on one bitch, and that's yeah, that's it.
That's it. Like, they got away with that.
You get one B word, and that is it.
You say whatever the hell you want. Like, so WWE are signing off on all of this. This is the direction they all want to go. Like the reports are, this is all by design. This is the direction they wanted to go, and they think it's working.
Mm.
So it is a work. There are just some aspects of it that I'm not massively keen on.
Yeah, I just don't think you should devalue the actual contest aspect of it. That's the bit we should try and make feel real. Like, that's the bit where we actually have to suspend our disbelief, and telling us not to makes it seem like, what's the point in watching?
What's the point? Why should I get invested in Bryan versus Kofi? Why should I get invested in Kofi's 11-year journey to winning the WWE Championship if it's fake anyway?
Well, that's the problem, is because it also devalues what everyone else is doing.
That's
like, it's not just Becky and Charlotte are pretending. Everyone's pretending. Yeah. So
they're all here just pretending.
Yeah, here we are, we're all actors, just mere actors on a stage.
Yeah. So, dig, diggity, dog.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
If you're wondering to yourself, what the heck is a crap gimmick? Well, that's a segment we do here each and every Saturday on the Wrestle Ramble. I more or less got through that. Where you, the Swap Nation, send in to us your crap gimmicks. And then we, the bookers of crap gimmick wrestling, decide whether we want to sign them or not. It's here each and every Saturday. That's where I tend to slip up and down. If you want to email them in, it's luke@wrestletalk.com. That's luke@wrestletalk.com. One more time, luke@wrestletalk.com. We're picking them at more or less at random now because we've got so many of them. I don't want to, like, people are sending them.
We're doing a tombola.
More or less feels like that at the moment. Yeah, I mean, if you sent yours back in August, which is where we currently, like, my backlog starts, August 14th, then yours will get read out first. But I'm just sort of like cherry picking random ones from the other months. Because like someone emailed in November saying like, oh, I look forward to having this read out in a year's time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, more or less. In fact, we might even get to you now, smartass. Anyway, James Dillon emailed in on August 14th. He suggests a tag team, possibly a tag team. It's Ace Reporter with the junior editor. Entering the arena to music reminiscent of the opening of a nightly news broadcast, Ace Reporter comes to the ring with his copy boy known as the junior editor. He is a smaller and less experienced wrestler tasked with documenting Ace Reporter's interviews. During the match, Ace will be asking his opponents and yelling questions out to the audience. Whenever he gets an answer, he yells back to junior editor, "Jot that down." When it's time to finish an opponent, Ace will yell out his catchphrase, "The press never sleeps," before locking in his finisher known as the end quote, which is a standing sleeper hold that allows Ace to ask his opponent a final few questions before they lose consciousness. After the match, Ace Reporter will interview himself to get highlights of how well he performed. He will sometimes also interview his opponents after the match if he feels it's front page material. If Ace wins the match, he will take the high road and ask fair questions before shaking his opponent's hand and thanking him for their time. If Ace loses, however, his interview will be more scathing side, accusing his opponent of cheating and being a low moral fiber. The junior editor, of course, is jotting all this down for a future article. This was an older character I came up but never sent your way. I wanted to shorten it and make it a bit easier to read. If I accomplished neither of those things, I do apologize. Yada, 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 consistent. James J. Dillon, who's one of our pledgehammers. Thank you very much, James, for sending that in. I like Ace Reporter.
I like it.
Yeah, some good stuff.
It's got Kevin Owen vibes. Like it's got that. It's got the sleeper hold, King of sleeper holds, King of headlocks kind of.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Then plus questions.
I always like the. There was a Kevin Owens. I'm pretty sure this was in NXT, and he had a match with Finn Balor, and he got Finn Balor in a headlock, doing his patented rest hold spot. But always asking if they want to submit. They'd be like, ask him. And they'd be like, he says no.
He kept asking. Yeah, he says no. But ask him again. You're not listening. No.
Ask him in Irish. So I quite like, I think there's some really good stuff to be mined from the Ace Reporter, interviewing people as he's doing a match with them, especially if you keep them mic'd up like Elias
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be, there's some good stuff to be mined from this. Good work there, James. Vimtrix sends in Tim Traveller. Now, Tim Traveller is an interesting one because we've got another gimmick that's slightly similar to it very shortly. But it's a little tease for you there. Tim Traveller is a wrestler who believes he can travel through time and that he is there to change the future of crap gimmick wrestling. His promos are very ominous, stating that if certain events occur, such as a wrestler winning or losing, then CGW will be destroyed. This, of course, means that Tim can play either a face trying to save CGW from destruction or as a heel who is trying to end CGW from taking over the world. Yeah, his move set includes the time stomp, similar to Sister Abigail, where he sets up an opponent for his finisher by holding them in one spot only for a few seconds before delivering Future Shock, since Drew isn't using it anymore. Thanks for taking the time to read my suggestion. Keep up the good work. So yeah, so Tim Traveller believes he is a time traveller.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to read this one now.
Okay.
Where are we? Okay, yeah, so this comes in from MJ Coach on October 14th. He says, hi guys, recently started backing on Patreon and thought at the rate Luke gets through these, it'd be nice to see a 1 year anniversary shout out. Well, yuck.
It's only been 4 months.
I'm reading it nearly 5 months later, actually. he suggests Jack to the Future.
Mm-hmm.
Already onto a bit of a winner. Good name. Good name, mate.
You could have new Jack to the Future.
Jack the Job to the Future. Anyway, Jack to the Future are a tag team of Jack Morlock and Jack Morlock.
Ooh.
One of them is present day Jack Morlock, and his partner is Jack Morlock from the future.
I love it.
Future Jack knows all of the moves that are going to happen and shouts instructions to present-day Jack. This puts them in a great position to win most matches as long as present-day Jack can react or counter the coming move. Mm. The problem, Jack to the Future can never actually tag in or out as physical contact will cause a rip in the space-time continuum that would lead to the destruction of one of them. Occasionally, Future Jack gets taken out and needs medical attention backstage, only for another Future Jack to emerge from the crowd and take the place of the injured Future Jack at ringside. For their finishing move, they deliver the new most electrifying move in sports entertainment. An illegal Future Jack raises the opponent in an electric chair position while present-day Jack delivers a flying clothesline from the top turnbuckle known as the 1.21 gigawatts. If you manage to book them as babyfaces, the eventual tag team split could be the biggest babyface move of all time, the hot tag that ends one of their existence.
Wow.
That is great.
It's like BioJack Infinite.
Oh, that is great stuff there. He calls himself O to the B. So
that is brilliant.
O to the B, congrats, man. That is a wonderful, wonderful tag team. Great work.
Yeah, I can. Especially if you actually go a little bit full Back to the Future, because I imagine old Jack or Future Jack, if he's got sort of manic Doc Brown vibes as well. Look out, Jack!
Or like, even it's just like you cast twins to play the role, but you put one of them in sort of like slightly older makeup.
So
then he just looks like an older version.
As long as he doesn't look like Johnny Knoxville's grandpa. Right?
I mean, for me, there's no question. It's Jack to the Future, right? Jack to the Future.
Jack to the Future.
And if you want to submit a question to the mailbag, all you have to do is become one of our awesome pledge hammers over on Patreon and leave a comment in our community section where I will pick them up and I will put them into a document and then I will read them out on this show and then we will answer them. It's as simple as that, really.
Almost didn't need instructions.
Alex Allen asks, hi Ollie, Luke and Laurie, but not so much Sir Randy. I was a big Wade Barrett fan and even loved his King Barrett gimmick. Oh, you were that guy. But to this day, never got why, when he was turning up for the bullhammer, why he would flip his black elbow pad round to the red side. Is that a play on the word bull, like the red flags they use for that particular sport? I would love to know. Thanks for all you do in the Swap Nation, and I'll be writing to you guys again soon. See. Yeah, so
I have no idea.
He used to have a black elbow pad, then he would turn it off, turn it inside out, and put it back on again, but this time it was red. And he would go, ooh, and then hit them with the
maybe
elbow.
Maybe it was a bull thing, yeah.
Maybe it was a bull thing. I always just thought, like, it is red, it hurts more.
Yeah, but I always find, like, the exposing your knees and stuff a bit, like, silly. I don't know, I've always just found it a bit more like, oh, I'm just not sure. Like, when people do it and, like Adam Cole does it for the last shot, Ty Dillinger used to do it for the tiebreaker, but it was just that sort of. It just looks a bit dumb when your knee pad is like in the wrong place.
Yeah, it's all just like crumpled.
Taking your elbow pad off and turning it inside out. It's not like it's not as cool as The Rock doing his and like flinging it into the crowd.
I think it's trying to add something to your finishing move. Like it's really fascinating to go back and watch AJ when he first joined WWE and him like. realizing that, oh, okay, phenomenal forearm is going to be my new finish.
Yeah.
And him then trying to work out, how am I going to signal to the crowd that this is a move I'm going
yes.
to do?
Yeah.
And there was a period where he used to like elbow the rope. Like he would stand on the apron and he would like elbow the rope in like, you know, a rhythmic pattern, hopefully to get the crowd to start clapping along, I guess. Mm. And then he would do the move. So I guess it's kind of along those lines. He just thought that when I take this off, people will know that I'm going to do the elbow. And that's where they'll go, oh, no, it's the elbow.
Oh, the ball hammer.
Oh, the ball hammer. So it could have been that.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
probably that. Magnus asked, what do you guys think of the way Ronda and Becky are tweeting each other to continue and build this feud? I mean, it's essentially what we talked about at the start of this show. I'd like some aspects of it, but I'd rather she don't call things fake.
Mm.
Yeah.
I love the Twitter war. I think the Twitter war is great. And it's I love how it's progressed recently into Photoshopping. That's, I like the fact that they're going through, like, they'll be on TikTok by the end of the month. Like,
Jonathan Hedman asks, it's more of a statement, really. I just heard Weezer's Black Album. What are your thoughts? Mine is sad emoji. I did ask Ollie before he disappeared what he thought, because this is more of a question for Ollie, really. He is the number one Weezer fan. Number one disappointed Weezer fan.
How long has he been that way for?
Like all Weezer since fans.
Since Green Album.
Well, since Blue Album, mate. Yeah. Oh, we're like mid-90s Weezer fans. Yeah. So like you go all the way back, you're like, the Blue Album is like... it's music perfection.
Oh, it's great.
It is like one of the best albums I've ever heard. It's 10 tracks of just musical perfection. And they've never reached that level again. Pinkerton, apart from that. You know, they've never really reached it again. And it's just every new album.
There's
like, oh, Beverly Hills, that's a really good track. Oh, the rest of the album's really bad. Oh, Pork and Beans is quite good. Oh, the rest of the album's really bad. And then they released the Teal album, which was just nothing but covers. Boring covers, nonetheless. But the whole point of that was like, oh, you're going to get the Black Album soon, though.
Mm.
So I've listened to it.
Revis Kuono.
I've listened to it.
No.
I can't tell you a single thing about it. Like, as soon as it finished, I'd forgotten that I'd listened to it. Ollie has only listened to the first track, and he was like, I'm not doing this to myself.
Yep.
He doesn't want to hurt himself any further. So that is essentially his review of the Black Album. He doesn't want to hurt anymore. So he's not even listening to it. It's funny enough, we actually listened to it on a Patreon personalized video that we do for our $100 backers. So they got to see like a live reaction of him listening to that song and seeing like the disappointment just creep onto
just
his face.
Just wash over his
face.
And
I was like, oh, this is sad to watch.
Maybe it's a eulogy for Weezer.
Maybe.
Black was a choice.
Dwayne asks, this is an adjustment from my question 2 weeks ago with the botched NXT call-ups. How would you both make any two of the most recent call-ups starting from say 2017 now better? So essentially asking like two NXT call-ups, how would you make them better? Step one, storylines.
Yeah,
don't introduce them all at once.
Yep.
Bring up so I would have brought up Aleister Black alone, no, with no other NXT call-ups around him. I've just done Aleister Black is an NXT call-up. He is here, he is starting a storyline now with, I don't know, say he answers an open challenge or something like that. He comes through and he starts black massing people, eventually building up to a big match where he's going for a title or something like that.
They should have just strapped a rocket to him, debuted him, and made him US champion.
Right,
they had nothing else to do with that belt anyway. They clearly have no idea.
Yep.
Like, have him just turn up, kick Shinsuke Nakamura's head off in my imaginary Shinsuke Nakamura is still the US champion world, and just win the title.
Perfect,
like,
yep.
Like, I just think if you're going to do anything with some of these guys, like the star power that they could bring if you just took a chance on them. Like the Revival should have walked in to WWE and just gone, we're going to run the tag division now, and done that.
Yeah.
And that should have just been it. Like
the injuries really suffered. Like, yeah, they're really hurt their run.
But all that stuff is like, if you just go, these are the new guys, everyone's on notice. People pay attention. You suddenly make new stars, because like the Revival would have been the perfect tag team to completely disrupt the status quo of tag team wrestling on Raw, especially. Like,
yeah, and I feel like I'm a bit of a broken record at times when we're talking about this, but like I don't buy into this idea of debuting 10 NXT guys and girls within the space of 2 months.
No.
Like that's 10 new people to get behind.
Yeah. They have no stories for any of them. Like
that's it.
They're just all here.
They're just there. Like what's Lacey? What's EC3 done? What's Nikki Cross done since coming up? Like you can't dedicate all of this TV time to 10 new people along with the other 30 or 40 people that you've got per show. And make it seem coherent.
Mm.
When I was interviewing Stephen D'Souza for my book, little cheap plug there,
Always.
He was talking about when he was writing Street Fighter, and the argument that he presented to Capcom was that, I'm not going to do every character from the Street Fighter series because there's too many.
Yeah.
The human brain can only hold 7 characters in their mind. That's why there's 7 dwarfs. That's why there's 7 wonders of the world. He like lists off all these
7 things. Dwarfs, but you forget Snow White.
Well, he's like, yeah, it's like there's 7 dwarfs, but like he goes, and even if you ask someone to name 7 dwarfs, they'll always forget one of them. Because there's always one that everyone forgets. So he didn't want to introduce all of these characters. Mm. But Capcom essentially would get the script and be like, oh, actually, can we make this person this character? Can we make this person this character? Before he knew it, he did have every character from the game in there, with the exception of Fei Long, because he was like, he's a Bruce Lee ripoff. No. And so I think it's kind of the same thing here. When you're introducing 10 people all at once, eventually some of them are going to fall by the wayside, like Nikki Cross.
Like 90% of them.
Well, yeah, like what's Nikki Cross got beat by Ruby Riott. It did nothing for Ruby Riott, and it did even less for Nikki Cross. Mm. So like she hasn't been seen since.
Nikki Cross should have taken over the Riott Squad. Like,
yeah, she should have done something.
Yeah, this is the thing, isn't it? It's like just having a minor storyline for someone coming in, just something for them to do that isn't walking down to the ring to have a look, Lacey Evans. Like, just something to do. Makes it seem like they're actually worth bringing up, because otherwise it's just like, oh, you're just doing a thing where you show us something new, and we'll forget about it.
Yeah. Andy asks, it's another question for Ollie, curious to get Ollie's thoughts on the fact they didn't have any Jerry Lawler commentary on the Torrey Wilson Hall of Fame video package. He says, disappointed much? I don't think he was. Lita asks, with Nyla Rose signing for AEW, how long do you think until WWE signs an openly transgender wrestler? Will they take them seriously, or just an updated Goldust gay panic? Now, I'm glad that we're recording this now, because in the Observer, let me quickly get this up.
Googling live on air.
I am Googling things slightly live on air. Yes, so... they're doing this new show. WWE doing this new show. They've updated the Divas Search, but they're not calling it the Divas Search anymore. They're looking for their next, you know, female superstar, and they're doing this sort of like a reality show based thing on that. And within that, one of the people that has been cast is Nicole Marie, a transgender North Carolina bodybuilder and independent wrestler, which would make her, if she gets signed, the first. I mean, really, she's the first transgender to work within a WWE product. I might be wrong on that, but I'm almost certain that's the case.
I
can't think of anyone. Yeah, I mean, there might have been someone who's done like maybe an NXT shot or like a squash match shot or something like that. So, but maybe this is moving forward.
Yeah, I think you'd have to take it seriously.
100%.
Yeah, we can't, like, I think you can barely get away with just regular gay panic. Like, you can't now do moving further down the LGBTQ acronym. We can't.
Just put panic after it. Yeah, oh, no, it's T panic now. I think they would definitely take it seriously. I actually think that we don't give WWE, and we shouldn't really, but WWE said they're going to do more LGBTQ+ storylines. Mm-hmm. Right? That's what Stephanie McMahon said. We've not seen any of that as of yet.
No.
However, Sonya Deville is an openly gay wrestler.
Yeah.
But that's never been part of her character. That's never like mentioned on commentary. Oh, by the way, she is gay.
Mm.
So that to me, that's good. Like that is moving forward.
Yeah. There's a degree to which I think WWE should just stop doing like things that are based on like people's sexual interest in other people. Mm. That seems to be where they fall down. Like all love angles are by and large terrible.
Yeah.
So maybe we should just drop most of those and just go with this person wants to fight this person for myriad reasons. Like it's fine, and that's the thing, is like it's fine if someone is gay in the storyline and it happens to be like, you know, say Candice LeRae in the Johnny Gargano story, like someone who's their partner trying to stop them from doing something stupid. And if that happens to be, you know, if the roles were reversed and it was Johnny in some intergender wrestling world, it was Johnny versus Candice, but Johnny was married to Tommaso Ciampa, like that would be fine. It shouldn't be the focus of a story. It should just be flavor to the story. Like, it, you know.
I think they're going to be testing the waters with Sonya as well, because she's now been cast in Total Divas.
Yes.
Like, so her and her girlfriend are going to be part of that show now, which I think is like, that's a really big step forward.
Yes, that's
for
a good
them.
Step.
So I think that's really awesome. And as I said, like I think them not mentioning the fact that she is gay really does kind of like help them as a company to not be like, look how good we are. We've put a gay person on television. Mm. Look how progressive we are.
Yeah.
So I think
you avoid all the pitfalls of having a dinosaur run the company who probably just goes, I don't understand that.
Yeah. Like, all dinosaurs watching the show being what? A gay person?
Yeah. No, we'll turn this into a weird story.
Yeah. Bryn asked, the reaction / panic booking we've seen this year with the shoot promos and tweets are starting to smell a lot in the stench of 2000's WCW. I know it's a long way from those levels of shenaniganry, but it's a slippery slope. Thoughts? Yeah, it can be a slippery slope. It's you don't want to end up doing like Bash at the Beach 2000, where you have like Jarrett go out and lay down for Hogan because you're doing the story then that Hogan refused to lose, and Hogan then just puts his foot and then cuts a promo and like, this company sucks. I'm like, well, you're now their champion, like, and you think they're rubbish. And then Hogan leaves and Russo comes out and cuts a shoot promo, and then Hogan legit gets annoyed and sues the company and quits. Like, it's like, it, you don't want to end up like that. Like,
no.
We are far away from that level of nonsense. But you don't want to end up there either.
No. I think you want to keep it as, like, keep your stories as unconvoluted as possible.
Yes. We're simple people.
Yeah.
We're simple people.
Well, I just think it's just, otherwise it's too much.
Yeah. And finally, from Matt, after looking up the Aleister Black theme on Spotify, it was interesting to see the current top 10 tracks by CFO Money based on the popularity on the platform. Where would you place, what would you place as your top 3 of the CFO Money era? So his top 10 as of the time of writing when he posted this is AJ Styles, Aleister Black. This is Spotify's top 10, not his own personal. AJ Styles, Aleister Black, Seth Rollins, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, The Undisputed Era, Tommaso Ciampa, Sasha Banks, SmackDown, and Johnny Gargano.
Wow.
I didn't even know that SmackDown was a CFO Money theme. Winding on the world. Come on and fan bang. Is that their one? Is that the SmackDown theme? Yes, that one.
That one, yeah.
I wouldn't listen to it. But, so anyway, he asked.
I can't believe Seth Rollins is in there.
Like, yeah,
who's listening to that? Like, that is. Spreadsheets!
I mean, I've got.
This is my concentration music.
I mean, I listen to Slayer. What do I know? Like when I'm working, no less. So, of those top 10, do you have like a top 3, or do you have anything outside of that?
Of those top 10, I mean, Shinsuke Nakamura's theme
so
is
like
so
his
good.
original
theme is so good.
Man, yeah.
The new version's
the
really
version,
good.
Yeah.
Someone did a chiptune version that is incredible. I love Ciampa's theme as well.
No one will survive.
Ciampa's theme is the classic WWE music of there is only one verse and one chorus. But the version on YouTube that I watched the other day to be like, oh, how does the rest of the song go? The rest of the song is the same. But it's 6 minutes long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just seeing if there's anything else. I've just loaded them up onto Spotify.
Rising Sun, Shinsuke Nakamura.
Keith Lee's new one is great.
Yeah, Rebel Heart's brilliant. I really like that.
Yeah. Crikey, they've done loads of these. I didn't even know Corey Graves had music.
I think for when the commentators come out off air, don't they?
Yeah. Do unto others the Forgotten Sons.
Do unto others. Generic.
Yeah, it is a bit generic.
No one will survive. It's so good.
Yeah, so from that list, Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode's music should have made him like... I mean, and it did in NXT make him like an unbelievable star.
Yes.
And here on the main roster, it just feels a bit passe. It's so weird.
Mm.
Like that song, when that song came out, I remember it being like leaked online, like because he did the NXT tapings.
Yeah.
And someone had recorded it on their phone. And I was around a friend's house and I was like, this song is going to be huge.
Mm.
Like when this debuts on TV and when they release this, this is going to be massive. Because it's so like bombastic and it's like a big Queen song. It's just, it's great. I was like, this is going to get him over to a ridiculous degree.
And then they put him on a little Lazy Susan as well. And it came in like suddenly the production values stepped up a notch. There he goes.
Yeah. Undisputed Era's theme is like one of my personal favorites, though. It's so cool.
It's got like a NWO Wolfpack vibes exactly, to me. Yeah. It's really, yeah.
It's like NWO meets Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it a lot. Plus, you get to go, boom.
Yeah, I like the fact that that's a thing. I like it when people play off their music, like Finn Balor's entrance with the whole.
Whoa.
Yeah, like having something to do in your entrance that's not just you stand there. Especially now that there's a lack of pyro as well, yeah, like, you know, because totally. Everyone used to have the pyro goes off in time with the music, and then you do something.
Yeah,
and now it's just you wait until the drop in the music. That's what annoyed me about Shinsuke Nakamura, in fact, that is he stopped doing the rope bit on the beat. Like, I was like, he stopped, like, because he used to do that at the point where it went,
come on, Shinsuke.
He used to do it when it was like, and it looked really cool. And then he stopped doing that and started just doing it at random and then going to the middle of the ring and doing the fall down thing when it went like that. And
yeah.
I was like, that's so much worse.
I like wrestlers coming down and singing their theme songs as well. Like EC3
is
very good at like mouthing along with it. Cassius Ohno does it as well, of like mouthing along with the lyric to your own song. But yeah, a big shout out to the new Keith Lee song. I think that song is great. Keith does his own singing on it as well.
There's one that shouldn't be as high as it. Okay.
Up. Oh, yeah. Well, we won't talk about that one. I feel like there are certain songs. I'm losing the predictions. I think I'm losing Wrestle League. Although, I was thinking about this morning.
Right.
If my Hail Mary of Charlotte beating Becky is right.
Right.
And I get the other three right that Ollie has predicted against me.
You
so Black
Ollie.
And Ricochet don't win. Mandy Rose doesn't win. And I can't remember what the other one was. I'll actually go above him.
Ooh.
And then Ollie will be last if he ever shows up again.
And I will be first.
Still way out ahead in front. But I was thinking, like, there's songs that will likely get nominated.
Mm.
I think the Bella Twins will probably get nominated again because they did quite well in the poll last time. But I think
Keith was on the poll.
I can't remember what else was on the poll now, but I remember that came. I think the Bella Twins came second, but I think songs like Lacey Evans's "Like a Lady" is going to certainly be up there. Keith Lee's "Limitless" I think is going to be suggested.
Well, the NXT UK theme.
Oh, I like that.
It's
song.
A really good.
It's really
good
cool,
theme, but it's probably quite hard to do.
Yeah. Anyway, right, that's all we've got time for on this show. We could just talk about CFO money or just scroll through and find more tracks to talk about. I don't understand how Spotify's most popular thing works. Because if you back up, right?
So I think it's by listens, is it?
But you'd think that, wouldn't you? But then, hang on, if I click into it now. This is great for podcasting. So number one, phenomenal, 11,000.
Oh, right, yeah.
But then Root of Evil adds to Black at number two. That's 3 million compared to 11 million. And then at number four is Shinsuke Nakamura with 10 million.
I think that's...
How does that work?
Is it lifetime, though? Is that the thing? Is it so these are the most listened to this week?
Yeah.
And then those are the lifetime listings? So
I guess so.
Maybe all 3 million of those Aleister Black ones happened this week.
All this week.
Yeah.
So we haven't discussed 80% Facts on a show that you've been a part of
yet.
So 80% Facts is something that me and Ollie came up with when I once told him a fact,
right.
And then which I fully believed. And then he said to me, is that true? And him saying that made me question it. And then I was like, oh, I don't know. And thus the term 80% fact was born.
Right.
And so me and my wife use it all the time of being like, oh, I've got a bit of an 80% fact for you that I've heard, but I've not read up on yet. So I don't know whether it's fully true or not.
I haven't fact checked.
The idea of 80% facts, though, is that you don't then fact check them. Like we don't fact check them.
You just live with that. Yeah.
We just live with these 80% facts. Like this one. We did that one. I didn't delete that email. We did that one previously.
This is annoying because I'll remember these. And then at some point, I'll forget that I learned them here.
Mm.
So I'll just think it's true.
Yes.
And I'll never check it.
Yeah. For example, Mr. Toasted emailed in about the Mandela effect, which we've discussed on this podcast before, but that's not quite 80% fact worthy, I would say. I think that's more teetering into the conspiracy theory side of things. But Jacob emails in to say there was one about sneezing, that like if you sneeze 17 times in a row, you'll die.
What?
Because like your body just runs out of oxygen. And that was said to whoever emailed in by a science professor. So he does think that might be 100% fact, but he's never fact checked
it. I think this science professor just wanted you to stop sneezing in class. It was...
But Jacob says, the sneezing fact reminded me of something I heard in elementary school and have been trying to do it for 15 years. Do you know it's impossible to sneeze with your eyes open? Because if you do, your eyes will fall out.
That is one I've heard.
I heard that as well. Yeah.
Do you want me to hold your eyes open and tickle your nose?
Because I told that to my mum once, and she said that, I mean, I don't think my mum believed it, but she said that she, when she's driving, she's trying to keep her eyes open while she's sneezing, because otherwise you've taken your eyes off the road.
Mm.
And that's slightly dangerous.
But I think the amount that you close your eyes while sneezing is minimal. Mm. It is a blink at best.
Yeah.
It's not like a prolonged, like, it's not sleep length eye shutting, is it? It's a blink.
Yeah, it's micro.
Which you're doing anyway.
Yeah.
Is your mum driving just like
stare like orange?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And again, I don't know if that's an 80% fact or if that's more urban legend type stuff.
Mm.
Corey emails in to say, the Aztec word for avocado is the same word for testicle, meaning the guacamole literally translates to testicle sauce. Saw this shared by the UberFacts Twitter timeline some time ago, but I've read that it's a misquoted translation from an out-of-date translation guide from the 1890s.
Mm.
That is a good 80% fact, mate. I like that one a lot. Dwillin emails in to say, hi Luke, Ollie, Laurie, but certainly not Randy. My mum told me this when I was a child, but I'm not sure where she heard it from. She said that every bottle of Coke that you drink, your body takes four bottles of calcium. Hang on. Your body takes four bottles of calcium. Hang on. She said, sorry.
She said some garbled mess.
She said that for every bottle of cola that you drank, your body took four bottles of calcium from your bones to digest it. Love the podcast. Keep up the consistent work.
Your body takes calcium out of your bones
to digest the Coke that's with
How big are the bottles of calcium as well? There's
that's a four-pinter, obviously. Four,
yeah.
That's the
like,
only...
You mean like a four-litre bottle? Like four-litre bottle. So 4 litres of calcium. If you drink enough Coke, do you lose bone mass?
You lose all of your bones. Yeah. I don't know about that one, man.
Yeah, because Cartman always said he wasn't fat. He was just big-boned.
Very
but he
big
drank
one.
Coke.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like,
Maybe. Harry emails in to say, hello, Luke, Ollie, Laurie, and definitely not the dastardly Randy Pandy Datsun. I've got some 80% facts for you. The sun is set is actually a mirage. The sun is actually set when the bottom of the sun hits the top of the horizon, and the rest is a mirage. A bee's buzz actually comes from its breathing pattern and small holes in the side of its body, and only a small percentage of it comes from its wings.
Well, like it's an ocarina. Like a little flying ocarina.
This is how you travel through places. Yeah, yeah. That's why they can
get
so fast.
Yeah, that's it. They're warping between owl statues.
That's it for now. I tried to think of a third, but couldn't, so I hope you enjoyed those two.
What's the sun being a mirage?
Yeah. So when it like goes down, it's actually already passed, but you're just seeing a mirage of the rest of the sun setting, I guess.
But is it like a mirage? Is your eyes taking like
it's deceiving you
in heat? So like in heat haze in a desert, when you're dehydrated, you take some of the shapes that you see during a state of extreme dehydration and shimmering horizons as something else.
Yes.
Usually an oasis or something.
A Pizza Hut, yeah.
Yeah, a Pizza Hut, yeah. But I'm not seeing a Pizza Hut in the sky. I'm seeing the colours of the sun.
No. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So
I'm not sure about that one, but
I feel like also the way that light travels, the sun can disappear beyond the horizon and you can still see the colour of the sun across the sky because the body of the sun is blocked by the earth, but the light rays emanate out in a sort of diagonal manner, I imagine.
I know, man. Maybe these flat earthers have got a point.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Harry does say that he found these out via QI.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe.
But then adds, but my memory might be off with them, so I tell them to everyone without checking.
Yeah, and
that is a quintessential 80% fact.
Exactly, and it might be one of the ones that Alan Davis buzzed on and gets, you know, it's just all set up for him to buzz on.
That is a perfect 80% fact. Oh. I heard it on a TV show that said it was a fact. I can't quite remember it, but I'm going to repeat what I think I remember from it.
I am useless at retaining facts from TV shows.
Yeah,
I used to watch, like, when I used to watch University Challenge, I was too busy shouting Dante's Inferno as the answer to every question until I got it right to actually learn anything from it.
Yeah. Anyway, that is all we've got time for on this show. Thank you so much for your 80% facts. We'll have more of those next week, obviously. We're going to be back on Monday with the Fastlane review, baby, which will be a lot of fun. And then we'll have the Raw and SmackDown reviews that follow on from that as we hit the road to WrestleMania now that Fast Block is out of the way, I guess. Thank you so much for listening. Take care. Have a good weekend. I love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.